just as human as possible. Just we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about how good God is and what He's done. And hopefully by the end of this, you will understand that the same God that works in my life can work in your life. Okay? And, you know, we look at, say Pastor Robert, we think sometimes he's not human, but I tell you, he's human, and everybody that's in ministry knows that you're just human. So I want to just talk to you as down to earth as I can today. Yesterday, okay, my wife dragged me to a marathon, okay? Yep. Whatever that thing was, drug me out of bed to a 5K, 3 miles. That's a joke to some people, but that's 10 miles to me, okay? But it was for a good cause. About 10 years ago, one of our friends from another church, son was 15 years old, took his life. So it was for suicide prevention. And so I did it for the cause, and I tell you what, I was trying to be cool running, but when you have, it feels like nails in your ankles and in your knees and your back, it's hard to look cool. So, but I tried my best, okay? But I was running, about the halfway point, I saw this little cluster of people coming my way. They had already made it and was headed back. And so, I thought it was Jeff, but he didn't even run it. So anyway, I saw this little cluster of kids actually coming back this way, and as I looked, it was Brantley. He was like the third place, and Stallone, he beat his big brother. Actually, Brantley looked effortless. Then Stallone was going. He was trying his best to catch Brantley. I know he was. But what was he, about sixth or seventh? I don't know what place I was. However many people there were, we can pretty much to the back, okay? But Brandy beat me, okay? All right. So anyway, Brantley was in that cluster of the first top three. So I want to come back to that story. I started it off with that. I want to read you a scripture as we're sitting here. It's in John chapter 20. And this is what it says right here. Chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Okay? It says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.'" Then it goes on to say, "So Thomas said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Let's think about this for a second. These days, people say what most of the time? Seeing is believing. I'm not going to believe nothing until I see it. This is the way Thomas was. He said, "Until I put my fingers in those hands, or until I put my finger in the side, I'm not going to believe nothing." Now, this world that we live in is very uncertain. Right? You can even take Facebook and videos and the internet, and you can make the impossible look possible. Right? So even if you see it, a lot of times we don't believe it. So Thomas was one of those guys. He said, "I don't believe it was Jesus until I see it." Okay? Now let me read on. It says in verse 26, "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger in here. Look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.'" Jesus said, "Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Sometimes we have to believe even when we don't see. Did y'all catch that? When you're dealing with God, sometimes you have to believe when you don't see. And here's my story, real short story. About 2003, I remember it like it was yesterday. 2003, this is a very short form of the story. 2003, August the 25th. Was it a Monday? It was a Monday. All right. Monday morning, I remember waking up, going to the hospital, taking my little wife. She was pregnant, miserable, of course. So we get to the hospital, we have the baby. We have a beautiful boy, jet black hair, plenty, head full of hair. Everything was great, Mr. Gene. What a day. Can you remember that day, Mr. Gene? Just, man, there was no other time like it in the world. Little baby boy, beautiful color, beautiful skin, hair, the smell of the baby. Oh, just, man, that's nothing like it. A little brother now, the only child becomes a big brother. Just life was great. Mama was very tired, of course. Here I am celebrating. Mama just wanted some sleep. But that was hard because friends, family, you know how it is, just tons of people in and out. By the time you doze off, here comes somebody else. When you doze off, the phone ring. That's just the way it is. So I said, man, you know what? I'm going to try to give her a little space. I'm going to try to give her some rest. And so I went out. I went out and celebrated by going out to eat with a couple of friends. Man, just having a good time, okay? Until I got a phone call. Phone call says, I think it was Brandy. Brandy says, something's wrong. I said, what are you talking about? She said, he's not looking good. The color's bad. Something ain't right. You know, me, the way I think, and maybe it's a male thing, or maybe it's just a hard-headed Michael thing, Jeff said, that I said, man, it's just, it ain't nothing. It's just temporary. Just forget it. Let it go. We'll get past it. Hung up the phone. Well, it wasn't. I remember we had to stay at the hospital a couple of days. Doctor's coming in. What he had was a brain bleed. And what that is our brain, in the ventricles in our brain, I'm not a medical doctor, Michael Berry, but y'all going to get the point, okay? But fluid drains from our brain to our body, naturally. But his wasn't. So his ventricles were filling up, which could cause brain damage, cerebral palsy, death, just to name the top main three, okay? So he says, I remember him looking at me dead in my face and saying, Dad, he's never going to be normal. He's not going to be able to run, jump. The athlete that you thought you were going to have, you can forget. He's not going to be able to play any baseball, football, basketball. He's not going to be able to jump. He'll probably have to settle with being behind a desk at an office or something like that in a wheelchair. But I tell you what, I was sitting there hearing all these things. It was like bullets coming at me. It was like bricks hitting me because you don't know what's going on. You don't understand this. You're like, man, what is all this info? Didn't know what they was talking about. And we're talking about just having the baby. It was time to go home with the baby. But now all this information is coming my way. So I said to myself, number one, first of all, the doctors already told us we couldn't have any kids. Y'all listening? So we believed already, and we wasn't going to budge from it. A scripture that I use every day in my life, every week, every month, every time I witness to somebody, every time somebody's going through something, every time somebody is needing counseling, Mark chapter 11, verse 20 through 24 says, if you believe and not doubt in your heart, you can say to this mountain, be tossed into the sea. I remember coming out of that office, and I went home. I went to the church I was at the time. I literally laid down on my face, and I said, God, we're fixing to have a talk. I said, because your word does not lie. So I'm going to hold you to your word, and I am fixing to pray your word that you told us. So I lay down on my face. I remember I laid there for about an hour quoting that scripture. And I said, God, you said you will, if we not doubt in our heart. And I said, Lord, I do not doubt what you can do. You've already gave us one child, and he's already overcame so many things. We wasn't supposed to have him, but we believe. So here I am again, Lord. I said, I hear you talking to me. Okay, this is it. I understand. But Lord, we need you to come through. So we come out. I pray the prayer. So many details that I'm going to skip, but I'm just going to make it short form. But in Jack, we had to go to Jackson. I'm going to tell you the most emptiest feeling I've ever had in my life. It's tough to talk about it, but I'm going to get through it. We had to leave the baby instead of taking him home. A mama, I can imagine what a mother would have to go through or what she went through, carrying the baby 9 months, having it, and couldn't take it home. And I worked at Winn-Dixie on 45, and I remember passing by the hospital every night and looking up in the hospital thinking, man, I don't even have my baby. My baby's sitting up in that hospital. And the most weird feeling I've ever had was when I was at home walking by that room that we had worked on for 9 months. Look at this one right here. Hey, Kennedy, come here. Oh, shoot. Come here, Kennedy. Yeah, give me a hug. Look at this one right here. Y'all give her a hand today. Ain't she precious? Yep. This is one of those miracles. Y'all hear that? Thank you, Kennedy. But the most weirdest thing, I remember shriveling. I wouldn't even look that way as walking by that room and him not being there. And if I felt like that, I just could imagine what Brandy felt. It was so strange. So they said, okay, we're going to have to take him to Jackson. Because this is serious. This is serious. We got to do operation on him. So many things were going through my head. But I said, well, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm ready to stand. So we went to Jackson. I wish I could tell you so many details, but we're talking we was going to have to stay 2 months, maybe three. We're talking about I couldn't work. I was going to be there regardless of what happened. I was going to be there. I already told my job. So if we had to rent a hotel, you're talking about 100 something a night. I didn't care. I said, something is going to happen. I said, I believe. I'm going to make it through this. There's a place down there called Ronald McDonald House. It's a place that you can go in there and get in, and it's free. They take donations. But it was all booked up when we got there. So we was fixing to get a room. We already had got a room. But at the last moment, there was a room that was open. But let me tell you about this house. If a room comes open, there's only two things. The child had passed away, or they were getting out. I didn't know that until I got in there, and every day we was in it, somebody's child had passed away. We had to watch. We had to sit every day, laugh and talk and struggle and pray and share with these people, and they were going through the same thing we were, and to see somebody every day lose their baby and walk out. So that leaves you in the corner saying, Lord, I'm with you, whatever. I believe I'm going to stand on your word. I'm still here. Now, you talking about being strong. Brandy's not going to talk, of course. But man, she was standing strong. I had a couple of breakdowns. Many. I mean, it was bursts. breakdowns. I was frustrated. I was tired. I said, Lord, what? What are you doing? What's going on? So she held strong. Fast forward it. I tell you what I did a lot of those nights. And I'm going to tell y'all this. A lot of people's thinking is when you're going through struggles, you're being punished or you've done something wrong. That's not true. The great characters in the Bible that God used the most that become the greatest characters is God talked to them when they were in their worst situation ever. So if you're in a situation right now and you feel so down and out, you feel so frustrated, you feel so hurt, you know what I did? I said, okay, God, here I am. I got my notebook out. I said, I'm listening. I said, I have nowhere to go. I'm at your mercy. He gave me so many scripture. He gave me so many thoughts. He gave me so much revelation. He gave me so much knowledge. He told me some scriptures to read. And guess what I did? What I did was I became stronger when I was there. When I was going through all the things I went through, I was getting stronger. So, we sat there, what was it, 2 to 3 months, I guess? A couple months? 6 weeks, almost 2 months? So finally, he wasn't getting any better. They was hoping it was going to drain on its own. Head was, you know, it just didn't look good. I'm going to tell you that. It just didn't look right. Wasn't no life. It wasn't no movement. It just didn't look good. So finally said, it's time. We got to go do something right now. They went in there. They put a shunt in his head for those of you that maybe know what that is. If you don't, it's just overview, a tube, a plastic tube in their head, and they wrapped it around his inside of his stomach so that the fluid would drain down that tube normal into his body like it's supposed to. I want y'all to listen close, and I'm going to finish the scripture, but I want you to listen to the detail at the end. So the doctor does the surgery, come out and said, surgery went well. We'll just have to see from here. But let me tell you something. I wish you could have seen the before and the after. The before, like I said, it kind of looked lifeless, kind of looked sick, just something wasn't right. But when they brought him out of surgery, you knew something had happened. Because the Joker was moving, bright-eyed, moving around, crying, wanting to eat. I said, man, that's my boy right there. So, we come back to the doctor. The doctor that told us, and let me tell you something. 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when I gave a testimony like this, I accidentally way talked down about doctors, and I didn't mean it. It was immaturity. Because right now, I tell you what, I thank God for doctors. They are sent here by God, and that's their calling. Doctors are just human. Just as I told you, pastors are just human. People in ministry are just human. Doctors, there's only one man that knows it all and who is perfect. And that's God. So we went back to that doctor. He said, Mama, man, he looks good. He looks great. But I remembered. I want y'all to listen. I remembered what he told me. Michael, or he didn't say Michael. He said, Dad, you can forget having a normal child. He's not going to run. He's not going to jump. He's not going to play any sports. He's not going to do any of that. You'll just have to get over it. Let me go back to the scripture, and I'm going to come back to that. Then it says, in verse 28, Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, I want y'all to listen to this right here. Y'all ready? Jesus said to him, Now, Thomas, I want to remind you, is the one that said he's not going to believe until he sees. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. Think about this for a second. It's easy, if you've seen, to believe. I'm not going to take away or add from the Scripture because the Bible says not to. But my opinion, right here when it says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I will say blessed more are those who have not seen. Y'all got it? And still believe. Sometimes you have to believe even though you don't see. Okay? Let me finish the Scripture. And then I'm going to get to the end. Truly, Jesus, in verse 30, this is what it says. I'm going to read it. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Let me tell y'all something. It says right there that there's miracles that Jesus done that are not put in this book. But this book and these Scriptures were wrote that we may have eternal life in His name. He did it for us. And we might not ever see, we're not going to see Jesus physically like Thomas did until it's our time. But let me tell you something. You're going to see Jesus when you look into your child's eyes. You're going to see Jesus when you open this book. You're going to see Jesus when you read this book. You're going to see Jesus. Uh-oh, there's my alarm. Y'all hold on with. I set the alarm for y'all. Jeff said, yeah, lunchtime. Oh, 201 times. But you're going to see God when you go to the doctor and He fixes something on you. Grandparents, when you look into your grandchildren's eyes, you're going to see God. Parents, when you look into your sweet, well, your child's eyes, you're going to see God. So it's easy to believe, like Thomas, when he saw. But when we don't see, blessed are those who don't see. They are still blessed. Amen? So now let me finish the story real quick. I started off with the story of the marathon that Brandy drugged me to. Okay? Brantley finished fourth. Stallone, you finished? Go ahead and say it. It's okay. Seventh. I finished 700th. So, okay. The doctor said he had never run. It'd never be normal. I didn't even think about it. Until I got home, and Brandy said, I just thought of something. I said, what's that? I'd done a sermon years ago called Run, Brantley, Run. And she said, I just thought of something. I said, what's that? She said, Run, Brantley, Run. I said, wow. And it hit me in the face. Now, let me tell you this. Hold up. Listen. Here's my point. Listen. Real simple. He came in fourth, which means what? He lost. Wait a minute. You beat me to my point. Good point, though. In other people's eyes, if you don't come in first, you lost. Number one is the winner. But who really won yesterday? God in Brantley. We didn't see 12 years down the road Brantley running a marathon when the doctor was telling us he'd never be normal. Straight in my eyes, boldly as can be, I love that doctor. I trust that doctor, and I still would to this day, but he's just a man. But when you start dealing with God, and when you start dealing with His scriptures, and when you start dealing with His promises, that overrides anything and everything that this world can conjure up. So when He said, you can't run, and then yesterday Brantley finished his fourth, who was the winner? Sometimes, listen, sometimes you have to believe even when you don't see. How many in here are saved this morning? Come on, don't be scared. Don't be scared. You know what? You had to believe to get saved. Because if you say you're saved, and then you look in this book right here and you say, oh, I'm not so sure about that. I don't believe that. Or I'm not so sure about what God said about that. Then you have a problem. Because you had to have faith. You have to have faith to be saved. So I'm going to ask you today. Because let's be honest. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But like Thomas, we're never going to get to see Jesus in the physical while we're here on this earth. But the Bible said, blessed, even if you haven't seen, to believe. Blessed are those who believe that had not seen. Y'all saw the Scripture. It's easy to believe when you've seen it. But when you have it, it takes just a little bit more oomph, and that's called faith. Some of you are going through some situations right now, and you better use your faith. It's time for you to use your faith because you cannot see the outcome. You can't see the victory. Just as when Brantley started out and he was born and the doctors were telling all this, we didn't see the finish line down here. We didn't see him running. He's played basketball. He's played baseball. He's ran. He's jumped. He's done it all. We didn't see that. But we were believing. The Scripture tells us, if you not doubt in your heart and believe, you can say to this mountain, be thrown into the sea. Sounds crazy, don't it? Let's just be honest. Now let's get down to earth. Sometimes when you're looking at the Bible, you think to yourself, man, that sounds so tough, don't it? It gets hard. But you got to have faith. This Bible right here is just a book to some people. They study it. They know it. They can tell you from beginning to end. They can tell you every character. They can tell you brothers, sisters, what they ate for lunch that day. They can tell you the sky, what color it was. But without faith, all of it is nothing. You've got to have faith. So I'm going to ask you this morning to check where your heart's at. Nathan, if you'd come on up, please, if you don't mind. Sometimes you have to believe even when you don't see. One day I'm going to tell you the full story because there's so many. What happened, the things that happened in between the start and finish was the most amazing thing God's ever done. But sometimes you're going to have to believe without seeing. That's what the Bible just said. You saw the Scripture. I'm asking you this morning as we're closing, as Nathan plays, I'm going to open these altars up because some of you right now don't see the end. You're just looking at the now. You're looking at how down you are. You're looking at how out you are, how stressed you are. You're looking at the bad news. You're looking at your report. You walked into the doctor's office and they've told you this. And you're looking at all the negative. And you're not choosing to believe right here at the finish line. You might be struggling physically, in your marriage, financially, whatever it is, and you're saying, oh my gosh, I quit. Where's God? Where's God at? But it's a choice to believe even when you don't see. Man, now I look back, all the things and all the hurts that came along with that, man, I wouldn't trade what we went through for nothing in the world. Nothing. Because there's a reason why the devil was trying to kill him. Now he's wanting to preach. He's wanting to sing. He's wanting to do all these things for God. No wonder the devil was after him. So the devil's after you for a reason, because maybe God's got a big old plan for you and you just don't see it. You said, me? I said, yeah, you. You. Don't matter how old you are, know where you're from, what you're doing, God's calling. He's calling you. I tell you what, you can see God. Let me tell you this, and we're going to pray. You can see God when you look in the mirror. Because nobody else can make that. That's supposed to be a joke, by the way. Nobody can make something like you. And I want you to think about that. Nobody can make something that you see in the mirror. You're looking at God when you're looking in the mirror. Look to your left and look to your right real quick. You just saw God. We were created in what? In His image. That's not accidental scriptures. Nothing's accidental. This is real stuff, man. Try Him and see. Test Him and see. If you hadn't tried God yet, you're missing out. You can be up when you're down. You can be rich when you're poor. You can be well when you're sick. When you're with God. Let's stand on our feet this morning. I put out what God's got on my heart, what He had on my heart. But if you need the altar today, if you need God, you just want to speak to Him today. Maybe you want to come pray the scripture that I quoted. Because you need it. You need Him. As Nathan sings this, even though you don't see it, we need to believe it. It's called faith. It's called faith. So Nathan, as you sing this, the altars are open. Please don't hesitate. Don't be embarrassed.
We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. things. Lord, we cast down our idols, so give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, oh, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, oh, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, oh, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let it be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. God, let it be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Let us not lift our souls to another.
Before we end on prayer here, Brantley and Stallone, come up, stand up here. Come on up here, buddy. Yeah. Well, make me whoop you in front of everybody. Doctor said, can't have any kids. The Word says, we can. Doctor said, wouldn't be able to move right. Wouldn't be able to run. Brantley, can you jump off that right there? Jump for everybody, just off the stage here. Jump, run. Two healthy young men right here that I'm proud to call mine in the ministry. Sometimes you have to believe what you don't see. That's what I want to leave with you today. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for everybody that's here today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on our life. Sometimes we don't see it at the moment. Father, we stand with you and on your word, and we trust and we believe and we have faith. Father, I ask you to touch everybody that's here, maybe going through something and health-wise, or maybe in their own life, maybe something's got them so bound up. Father, I claim right now victory over every life. That the devil's tried to capture every heart in here, tried to kill, steal, and destroy, and knock them down from what you've called them to do. So, Father, we stand on that faith, and we believe in your word, that you'll move that mountain in our life. And we're just thankful, Lord. We're thankful for our kids. We're thankful for our grandkids. And we're just thankful, Father. We give you all the praise in everything we do. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In your name we pray. Everybody say, amen. Amen. You may be dismissed. Yeah.